can take all the tea in China, put it in a big brown bag for me, sail it right round all the seven oceans, drop it smack dab in the middle of the deep blue sea. She's as sweet as super low honey. She's an angel of the first degree.
She's an angel.
She's as sweet as super low honey. Just like honey baby from the bee. You can't stop us on the road to freedom. You can't keep us, cause our eyes can see. Men with insight, men in granite. Knights in armor bent on chivalry, because she's as sweet as super low honey. She's an angel of the first degree.
She's an angel.
She's as sweet as super low honey. Just like honey baby from the bee.
Folks cover Van Morrison, but nobody does it quite like J.J. Gray. Isn't that beautiful? J.J. Gray and Mofro, Tupelo Honey from 2009's The Choice Cuts disc right here on 90.3 KMBA. The artist Aquilo in front of that, it's spelled like Aquilo, A-Q-U-I-L-O, but I'm told it is pronounced Aquilo, so there you go. Thin, the name of the new single from Aquilo. White Horse back there with Baby What's Wrong. It was Orbo and the Long Shots, the best country Americana sound ever to come out of Scandinavia. Cool band. I wish we'd hear some more from them. Orbo and the Long Shots with Neon Scar. And we started out with Pills from St. Vincent and her latest album, Mass Seduction. It is 8:27. It is the Morning Line program for this here Monday. I'm Danny Preston.
And I'm Frank Chifle again. Today we're kind of focused on storytelling. Got a couple of stories to tell. One is about the Anchorage Museum is hosting a workshop tomorrow called Urban Homesteading 101, Traditional and Contemporary Ways of Using Local Resources to Support Winter Wellness. Registration and fee information available at anchoragemuseum.org. Also, the Native Student Services section over at UAA is, along with several other partners, are hosting an Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act series. And this is stories about the ANCSA and how things happened back in the past where the there was the positives and negatives of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act. And those are going to be highlighted. That's, of course, the creation of the village corporations and corporate entities here in Alaska back in 1971. The events are at Rasmussen Hall on UAA campus, and the first one is the 26th at 7 p.m., as well as some in February and March. And, of course, I do have a story to tell, kind of like a congratulations story. We've been kind of talking about the Alaska Music Leaders Hip Hop and R&B Awards ceremony that was on the 20th, and just to brag a little bit about our colleague and friend Reggie Ward, we heard that he got this top secret kind of, hey, DJ of the Year award. And he was organizing this thing, right? But then there's this kind of like, hey, let's kind of surprise this guy and say, you know what, you're the DJ of the year.
Congratulations. Congratulations. That is so cool. All right. Thanks very much, Frank. And welcoming to the program, wearer of manifold hats, we can say, the executive director of Keys to Life Alaska, Shirley Mae Springer-Staton. Hi.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm great. You always brighten up a room so much. You were saying you enjoy it here in the springtime coming
up.
But you see, you brighten it up.
I'll come back more often.
Okay, please. So, first off, happy birthday to Keys to Life Alaska. I didn't get a present or a cake, but happy birthday, just over a year old here. Hey, Shirley, for folks that aren't familiar, who might not be familiar with Keys to Life, I guess briefly, because we've got a cool event to talk about, but what's the deal with Keys to Life?
Keys to Life, we've actually been around a couple of years. This December, we received our nonprofit a year ago, so we are officially 1 year old, although in this community, as I said, we've been doing work for a while. And Keys to Life is dedicated to creating cross-cultural experiences, cross-cultural emergent experiences through the arts. Is using the arts to bring us together as a community. And I can't think of a better way to use the arts because we go to the heart and through music and storytelling and dance and engaging conversation, we let down some of those walls that we build up otherwise and we can listen. And talk.
That's a great metaphor, walls. I'm just having to thank you.
I know. And that's what we want to do. We call it Keys because keys open the possibilities for many things to happen through in our community through this project.
And I know one of the slogans of the organization is to support community building through the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in tandem with celebrating the marvelous diversity in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an event coming up shortly we want to talk about, but it's not like your organization has been involved in so many different things. Maybe you can kind of talk about some of the events and activities that you've been involved with.
Okay. And people may not necessarily recognize the name Keys to Life. However, if I say Lullaby Project, everybody through the power of media have heard about the Lullaby Project and the Highland, more specifically, Lullaby Project. And that's the project where community musicians go to Highland Mountain Correctional Center and help mothers write lullabies for their children. And this is the second year. We did the second year in November. The first one was in September 2016. And as I just said, the second one was November 2017. And I'm now priming up for 2018. We're going to do it a little bit different this year. Usually it's mothers that write the lullaby for their children. And people kind of say, oh, lullaby is if very light. But these are very powerful lullabies because for some of these children, it is the first time they hear their mother say, I love you, through the power of music. And it's not your fault. And please forgive me. So this has been a very powerful arts program in the community, not only for the women at Highland, not only for the musicians, but people. We had over 230 people who went to the prison last year, 2017. And many of them didn't even know where Highland Prison was. So this is an activity or arts component that brings musicians, inmates together, but also our community together. And so a different narrative is created as a result of the Highland Mountain Prison Lullaby Project, because we get to see who's there, and we have an opportunity not only to see who's there, but to help the women, because for many of them, they will be released. And we do want them connected to their families and to their children, because recidivism is less happening when mothers are connected to their children.
And you talk about a sort of a new narrative, a shifting in direction of the narrative, powerful on so many levels and yet empowering too. So look forward to another big year coming
yes.
up.
Yes. Oh, I was going to say, so 2018, we will include men as a part of the lullaby. And I'm really looking forward to it. I have an idea of how I'm going to do it. However, I don't know all of the 1, 2, 3, 4. But I'll have to get on it soon because it will be happening this year. And we won't do the full-scale men. We'll probably do half men and half women. But I think, you know, it's a powerful way for men to share with their children those, you know, those critical words that we all need to hear, is that I love you. And
and when you're talking about, multiple generations of men who were normalized to be stoic.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Stoic and tough.
Right.
That's
right.
That's going to be, you got your work cut out right. for you, Shirley.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah. And I'm excited to hear more about it as the year progresses here. Well, let's talk about the festival that's coming up.
Okay. Our current project is the Stories Come to Life, and it is the Cultural Storytelling Festival. And just a brief background, another project that Keys to Life did 2016 was the Anchorage Cultural Summit. And that project was around bringing community members together to talk about ways we can become more inclusive in this community. As we all know, we have 107 languages in our school district, which is quite different from 1980 when I moved here. And so we have more diversity in our community. And as we have this diversity in our community, what are the ways that we can build a more inclusive community and bring people together? And I can't think of a better way than the arts, and in this case, stories. And we are having our first cultural storytelling with Counterculture, because we'll have different people from many cultures, and we'll talk about that in a minute, to share stories from their culture. And what I'm hoping from this, that as participants are sitting in the audience listening to the stories, that they hear their own stories, because it is where our stories intersect and we find commonality with one another, is where we begin to build community. and change narratives about who we are.
Very well said. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, we got a cross-cultural event here. We're going to spotlight two or three different cultures, and there's a ton of them.
Yes, yes. It is. The thing that's different about this storytelling festival, it is more than telling a story. I've asked each workshop participant to talk about their culture. How are stories implemented in the culture? How are stories a part of the culture? We know that with Alaska Native culture and Yari Walker from the Alaska Native Heritage Center is one of our storytellers. And she will tell the story, talk about what does raven mean? What is the symbolism of stories? And how do we use stories culturally is a part of our daily living. And the same with Junior Geiser. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He is Samoan. And I heard him tell a story at the museum. And he not only told the story, but he brought members from the audience to participate in the story, to act out the different characters in the story. And I was just blown away. He's a young man, and he travels to the villages to tell stories.
The Cultural Storytelling Festival, where stories come to life, presented by Keys to Life Alaska, is happening Saturday, February 3rd, 9 to 2:30. At the BP Energy Center. It's going to be a lot of fun. 8:39, if you're just joining us, our guest this morning is the Executive Director of Keys to Life Alaska, Shirley Mae Springer-Staten. So, Shirley, I'm seeing you've got Samoan stories, Filipino stories, Mexican stories, Japanese stories, African stories, Chinese stories, Alaska Native stories, Hmong stories, and it goes on and on and on. This had to be a pretty interesting gig to put together. This isn't something you just threw together overnight. People have been working on this thing.
No. Actually, I started working on it last year, and as I would hear storytellers like Anne Zing, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her last name. She's from the Confucius Institute at UAA. And again, I heard her tell story. And after she finished telling the story, she had people, and she will do this again, to write the beginning of a story using Chinese characters. And she taught us how to tell the beginning of her story in Chinese. I just thought that was so fascinating, you know, because it's more than once upon a time, da 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 da. You know, you can embody the story, be involved in the story, participate in the story in a way other than a listener.
It becomes more personally profound.
Yes.
You know, I love the idea of you use the word intersection of cultures and how a hope is that we listen to stories and kind of turn that not just subjective but intersubjective and a kind of a sharing of the same knowledges and celebrating our differences but realizing how similar we are as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm. And that is the power of storytelling, because we find those places where we intersect, and that's the power, again, of the arts. We do have Diane Ferlat, who is coming, and Diane is phenomenal. She is just phenomenal. I have known her probably 25 years. She came 25 years ago and did a project with the Alaska Humanities Forum called Talking Anchorage. And it was very similar to this storytelling, only we were moving different places in the community. And Diane would open up the stories for us. And speaking of the Alaska Humanities Forum, it is a free day funded by the Alaska Humanities Forum. And Diane, back to Diane, would walk in a room, and she would start off, she brings a walking stick, which is very similar to a talking stick that the Alaska Native use. and she walks in pounding the floor. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm here to tell my story. And then she would start into the most magical story, whether it was about an African story or whether it was about an African-American story. She's just a powerful story. And she, you know, she's been on the international stage. She's been in Turkey. She's been in Istanbul. She's done workshop in Guatemala. She's done workshop in small villages in Ghana, as well as a travel around the United States. And if you go to the Storytelling Festival in Jonesboro, Tennessee, which Diane is there every year, everybody knows Diane Furlatt.
Will you just sing for us for the rest of the hour?
I wasn't expected to do that, but, you know, I thought, oh, that's one of Diane's signature. She does weave music in her stories, and she has a very powerful voice.
And she actually kicks off the whole thing after a coffee and meet and greet, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have a Persian story with Omid, who will open us up, and then Diane will do a ceremonial opening for us. And then we actually break off into the workshops. We have lunch again. We were funded by the Alaska Humanities Forum. And so lunch will be provided. And at the lunch, we'll have a story swap session where individuals who may have a story that they want to share in small group. And then Diane takes the stage at 1:30 for about an hour performance.
Okay, free admission and free food. Let's go. So we're going, this is just so cool. We're going way over our time here, shortly. But so we're going to have to close unless you want to sing for the rest of the hour.
No, but we can tell people how they must register. Go to KeysToLifeAlaska.com. KeysToLifeAlaska.com.
It's really, I must say, a nice, clear website. You'll see immediately, you'll see the picture of Diane, and then big thing, register today. You just click on there, and it gives you the list of all these great artists we're talking about, too.
Yes.
KeysToLifeAlaska.com, Cultural Storytelling Festival, Saturday, February 3rd, 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., BP Energy Center, Shirley May Springer Staten. Thanks so much. We'll see
you
till next time.
Till next time.
Okay, thank you. 8:45, Grace Potter and the Nocturnals next.
When you file online for your 2018 Permanent Fund Dividend, every Alaskan can support KNBA through Pick, Click, Give. With just one click, you can donate a portion of your PFD and help us make a difference. KNBA serves our community with great music, news, and Native cultural programming year-round. We hope you choose to support KNBA and Alaska's Native voice when you Pick, Click, Give for causes you care about. Kriana.
Ancient remains are shedding some light on the history of Alaskan ancestors. It took years since the remains were first found in the Tanana River Valley before scientists conducted DNA tests. Join us for the next Native America Calling as we talk with tribal representatives and the lead researcher on this discovery.